Hello, everyone. Oh, Jesus, I knocked the mic out of my hand. I never knock black things out of my mouth. Hello, everyone. Welcome to When in Rome, episode 13. I wonder how long I'm going to like count episodes and say them out loud. How long do you think I should do that, Cameron?
Maybe just a couple more times.
You know, it's funny, when I was like started working out and like a while ago, it was like my latest on my weight loss journey, and I would post every week on Facebook, and I would be like, oh, week one working out, week two, and then after like I think it was like week, I don't know, 20 or something, someone hit me, I'm like, how long are you gonna do this? And I was like, bitch, as long as I want to. And then I was like, maybe it's time to stop. So I don't know how long I'm gonna bring up episodes. Obviously, it's, you know, when maybe because my editor is telling me in a couple more, maybe we'll edit a couple. Episode 15. I'm like, oh my God, it's episode 15, and that'll be it. Anyway, let's get to it. Welcome, everyone. Welcome back, my legionnaires. As I said, we're at episode 13, and we're going strong on this weekly motherfucking thing. I hope you're loving all the new and weekly content we're bringing you. We're here to give you all the haps and the news and the happenings in SF and what's going on in the gay scene. As usual, thanks for joining us. Remember to always listen, like, share, and laugh at WHENNROME on Instagram. You can listen to me on any of your favorite apps. That's Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Amazon, etc. We just got on YouTube, so excited about that. And with that, let's go to our mood enhancer break. So, everyone get your mood enhancer, please. All right, on the count of three, we're going to do our mood enhancer. One, two, three. Now let's get into it. Happening since we last saw each other. Okay, so I'm just going to tell you guys about some of an embarrassing thing that happened in my life. I went through it on a prior Sunday night. And when I mean we're going through it, it's kind of like what I mean by getting a little too drunk and having to have your friends take you home. Hot fucking mess. Last thing I remember is on the dance floor at Badlands, doing my thing, started sweating a little bit. And I was like, okay, you know when you get a little too much dew on your forehead, camera knows. And then you're like, okay, it's time to go. So I was like, okay, let me take myself outside. I remember sitting down, I'm like, breathe. And I was like, hey, let's take yourself outside, get some air, you know what I mean? And then I remember walking up the street like, ooh, you don't want anyone to see you a mess because you're an icon, you're a socialite, woo. And then the next thing you know, my friends are like, Roman, get it together. And then they have to walk me into the car. When I tell you it was a hot fucking mess, I'm telling you it was a hot fucking mess, okay? It's like, and then you know what's sticky when it happened after, like the next day or whatever, after I got over the embarrassment of being a hot fucking mess, is that it always happens to me when I like don't follow the basics, right? Where you don't eat enough, you don't drink water enough, you don't sleep enough. You know what I mean? Like, you just don't pay attention to like what you're doing. And that's exactly what happened to me. Now, I know I didn't even sleep enough. Like, I sleep pretty much every single night, but sometimes, you know, when you're getting like 2 or 3 hours, it builds up over a part, like a long weekend. Girl, and I'm at 40, I can't not eat. That's crazy. I have to have at least 2 meals a day, but then I know I just didn't have enough. And so just sometimes, and you know, sometimes your body just gives the fuck out. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you can do everything right and then your body's like, you're not right. And so that was me on a Sunday. By the way, if you saw me, mind your own fucking business, okay? I was auditioning for a play called A Hot Fucking Mess in a Walmart Dress, okay? And I was just doing my part. So, you know what I mean? It's called method acting, motherfuckers. Method acting.
Not the Walmart.
But in reality, y'all, just make sure we always practice harm reduction, you know, to make sure we eat enough, drink enough, sleep enough, yada, yada, yada. And especially as your body changes, you get older, blah, blah, blah. You really should just pay attention to that. I should have gone home earlier when I was new. I was starting to get a little messy, but then I wanted to power through it. And next thing you know, I'm doing the pop and lock it on Kitty like a party boy. What else? What else has happened to me? Oh, do you guys remember HelloFresh fucking Gate? Well, if you don't remember, let me refresh your fucking memory. I had a fucking pebble that I found in my fucking food, and I had to like send it to HelloFresh, or I had to send them an email, and they started asking me questions, and then they started asking me more questions like, how big is a fucking pebble? Bitch, the pebble is as big as a fucking pebble is. Like, how many, what it is in centimeters? Are you fucking kidding me? Girl, y'all, you know what it is in centimeters? 29 centimeters, like my dick. Like, that's big, right? Like, that's fucking annoying that they want to ask all these questions. You know what I want to know? How big is my damn refund, my damn free, how big my free order of meals is going to be, whatever. So I'm going to keep I'm going to keep it on because I'm getting my motherfucking money. I'm getting something for almost breaking my damn tooth with this fucking pebble that I don't know how many centimeters it is. They're probably going to ask for the mass next. Whatever. Stay tuned. And now let's go to party reviews. All right. Badlands versus Bo. I finally decided to broach this topic since people keep asking me the fuck about it. And for some reason, I want to know what like my thought is on Badlands opening and its impact on the nightlife scene. I actually like it, right? I think Badlands didn't change much, right? You know, it was kind of like a douche. It didn't really do a renovation. But the music, like the sound system is better. It doesn't smell like vomit anymore, blah, blah, blah. It's got some new things that they're doing that I like, some things that I don't like. But I do like the fact that it opened because I think that it ushered in an era where the clubs are working harder for a dollar. So I think Badlands opening put everyone on notice, right? That there's more real estate out there, like dance room or bar real estate than there are patrons on certain nights. Like some nights, every single club will be packed, but on other nights it's not. And I like those nights because it forces competition. And I think that the clubs that were open before Badlands were, especially in the Castro, relying on people just showing up because they didn't really have other options, right? And now that's not true. And I think that is forcing all the clubs to start working for our dollars more. I mean, you got Toad Hall that's got RuPaul's Drag Race screens. And regular local queens has got a drag night now. You've got Badlands has got a drag night. Badlands is doing mixes. Badlands is like, you know what I mean? Like stepping it up a little bit. Bo is also working on new parties and new ideas, right? They've got the Brazilian party that's monthly. They had, you know, that circuit party that went really well. You know what I mean? So they are also being forced to do things. So I know that Bo is doing a renovation. And so I think that probably pushed up the renovation so they can kind of get some like, you know, I don't know, some cachet, some buzz, blah, 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 blah. So overall, I think Badlands is good. I think everyone going to Badlands a lot, it's just a portion of like Badlands being kind of the new hot thing. Badlands having a really consistent vibe and feel, you know what you're gonna get. And they have a lot of drink specials. And I mean, on that note, I think that's what Bo needs to work on, right? I think that Bo doesn't have a lot of character in the sense that, you know, because it always tries to appeal to every man a lot of the nights. And I think that the parties that work at Bo that you have seen are the parties that have like a vibe, right? They have a very specific vibe. The Boom Boom night on Sundays is popular. What Pandulces on Wednesdays is always popular. Circuit Fridays is popular, right? Us is popular. Unique is popular. These are all parties that have very specific vibes and they don't try to cater to everyone, right? And this is not to ding the DJs that are currently at Bo. It's just to say that, you know, having DJs that come with a specific vibe that major special specify and that specific vibe, they're going to bring the people and the vibe that every man DJs are not, right? And so I just think that Bo, regardless of the renovations, needs to focus on that if it wants to get more people back. And also, it needs to get more drink specials. I mean, Badlands is damn near giving drinks away all the fucking time. They have so many drink specials and I don't even drink and I know that and I don't even know what drink specials they have at Bo. So that's my two cents on that. Let's see. Dad at F8 wanted to talk about this party again. It's really fucking fun. The music is fucking fun. I was killing it. I will say that like it's not really fun until after 1 o'clock because before then it's so fucking packed you can barely move. You can't even see the cuties. You barely have enough time to get to the fucking bathroom. Heaven forbid you have to hydrate. Like I hydrate, bitch. You'd be in that bathroom like forever. So good party. Go after 1 o'clock when 10% of the people leave and then you can actually dance. Let's see, I'm going to talk about Apollo, the afters. I don't think I have reviewed Apollo here, but if I haven't, I wanted to make sure it's an after party. It's on Saturday. It's in a fun location. You get like, you know, have to have a password and all that shit. I like Apollo because it gives us something to do on Saturdays. Like Cameron and I used to throw so many more kikis on Saturday nights because there was nothing to do. So having a weekly, like, you know, after hours is like amazing. We definitely need it. We need more. So check out Apollo every Saturday. It's fucking good. The music is good. It's not great. Could be sometimes it's hit or miss, but it's really fun. Safe space. Do what you want. Has a playroom. And that's kind of it on party review. So let's see what's coming up. So my monthly party at Bo is on pause, not because of me, but because I talked about Bo is going to be doing some renovations. It's probably not going to come back on until June. So just stay tuned. I'll let you know on my next monthly when the next Kiki party is at Bo. But I do have my Romans Revenge, which is scheduled for May 10th. That's a Friday with DJ Brian Armanita. And we just brought on the drag diva Bianca Simone. So can't wait to bring you that. Can't wait. So stay tuned for May 10th. I've got Lick It at Powerhouse. Guess who's hosting? Yours fucking truly. It's going to be at Powerhouse on 427. It's giving you neon. It's New York House. So come down, bitches. It's amazing. There's a new day party also that's debuting on 427-8 called Chaotic. It's brought to you by the ever amazing Teresa Gucci and Terry. Oh my motherfucking God. Sorry. It's a day party at 620 Jones's from 1 to 7 p.m. It's a look party, so bring your looks. You know we need more day parties. Like, day parties in San Francisco is the one thing that doesn't happen. And so I'm glad that people are starting to bring it there. So check that out. And as usual, I'll keep talking about it until it happens. Velvet, May 18th. Ugh, that party is amazing. Buy your motherfucking ticket now. And if that's it for party reviews, baby, let's take a motherfucking break. Welcome back from your shit break. Let's get on to world news. Okay, y'all, this one's kind of funny. So a woman was wheeled her dead uncle into a bank to sign for a loan. So I just from the title, y'all know this is a hot fucking mess. So basically this woman's uncle, who they think died like 4 or 5 hours before. I'm sorry, this woman who had an uncle who they think died 4 to 5 hours before, wheeled her uncle into a bank to try to get a loan under his name. The bank tellers thought there was something wrong and thought that was a little weird because obviously the motherfucker's dead. And then so they started filming. So y'all need to go onto the related articles that I post in the outlines and see, because you can, if you go to the article that I post, you can see the video. They don't show the body, but they show the hand. And the woman is like trying to put the pen in his hand, like, come on, uncle. And in the video, the woman is saying like, uncle, if you don't sign this, you know what I mean? I ain't got time for this shit, right? And the tellers are like, there's something wrong going here. What's going on with him? And she's like, oh, he's always like that. His color is a little palette, you know, a little pique, da 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 da. This bitch really brought her dead uncle in there. And what I don't understand is and everything is online now. So, I mean, they later said that she was his caretaker. So if you're his caretaker, you don't have, and he's like dying, you don't have access to his information. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't do it online. Like, it wouldn't have been easier to try to do this online, bitch, than to bring your dead uncle, wheel his dead ass. They said he was suffering from rigor mortis. And in the video, you can see her like put his hand up and his hand just falls dead. Like, it's disgusting. And I wouldn't even go back to work. Like, how do you go back to work the next day? I'm like, did you guys just put some sprackle on this chair? Like, there was a dead man in here. This is nasty. So I don't know what else to say, but, you know, I feel sorry for the dead uncle. So it's like Weekend at Bernie's in the favela.
Not like propping him up with like sticks and putting like the sunglasses. And, like, yes, I haven't seen the video yet.
Yeah, I'm assuming he had I hope that this bitch, they blurred out the body. So in the video, you can't see, but I really hope that she had to have sunglasses on, because I would not, like, his eyes, you know what I mean? Ew, like, his dead eyes. I'm dead thinking about it. Let's move fucking on to American news. And now we're on to American news. Former St. Louis undercover officer gets $23 million after being beaten by colleagues. So, this one's a lot. There was a black police officer named Luther Hall who was beaten while going undercover at a protest rally. Yes, motherfuckers, you heard that right. A black undercover police officer at a protest rally got his ass beat by other officers. The incident happened at a protest rally in 2017. After a white officer was acquitted of shooting a black teenager in 2011, right? At the protest, Luther, the black officer, was beaten by 4 cops, and they pinned him to the ground and beat his ass with a baton. He suffered permanent injuries and, of course, PTSD, right? Like, from the blue wall probably means a lot different thing to him now, right? A judge awarded him $23 million after he sued the police officers, and one of them didn't show up to court to defend himself, which I think is really funny. Like, I didn't know that in jail you just had the option not to show up to court. You know what I mean? Like, right, Cameron? Like, I thought if you were in jail, like, you brought your ass to court. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't think they were like, oh, baby.
Oh, no, I forgot. I was busy.
Yeah, or they were like, ding, ding, ding. Hey, Luther, baby, I know you. You know, or hey, the cop who beat him. Let's just say Steve, because he was white. Hey, Steve, you have a court case. Do you want to go or do you want to sleep? Do you know what I mean? Do you want to stay in solitary confinement or do you want to sleep?
I mean, I guess you get a choice, but I didn't know, like, they're just like, all
right. Right. I thought you lost all rights. Get your white ass in this court. Well, he's white. I forgot. So they probably make black people to go to every court case and every appearance. White people just get to say, you know what? I'm on a siesta.
I guess, like, what's that conversation when the judge is like, where were you? Why did you, like,
right,
not show up? And you're just like.
And then they also awarded the guy, the Luther, $23 million. So it's kind of like, him not showing up means a lot. You know what I mean? Like, bitch. First of all, also, like, who's going to pay the $23 million? These are four cops. They don't got no money. Do you know what I mean? What is this $23 million going to come from? That judge is be saying anything. But here's my problem with this story. There are, let's see, three things that I have a problem with this story. One, let's start with the undercover officer part. Right. So this was, and a black one at that, right? The undercover, what do you think the purpose of this undercover officer was, right? It happened in 2017, right? So it was right in the middle of Black Lives Matter and all that, right? This was a protest because black people were upset. This is right, you know, times when the protesters were kind of getting out of control. And that's on both the police and some of the protesters' side, right? We were talking about police were like shooting, you know, what is it? Tear gas and bean bags, all kinds of shit. People were get run over. Remember that was happening in New York, right? So, but what gets me is like, what do you think that police officer undercover there was there for? I'm sure it wasn't to spy on the other cops. I'm sure he wasn't part of internal affairs there to see if the cops were beating people. He was there to spy on the protesters. This is giving me very much FBI and the civil rights movement. You know what I mean? Like, why was a cop? And then they use a black cop to do it so he could blend in with the black protesters protesting the abuse by white cops to black people. I just think that's kind of annoying. And then the irony of an undercover black police officer getting his ass beat by his own police officer brethren, right? And then the thing is, I'm sure he tried to tell him, I'm sure Luther, the black police officer, tried to tell these white people that he was a cop. I'm sure he probably even had his badge on him, but they beat his ass anyway, which goes to tell you how little white people, white cops allow black people to speak. Because I'm sure if they had given that cop 4 or 5 minutes of their time and listened to what he said, he might have been able to alert them to the fact that he was a cop. But the fact that they beat his ass means that he had no time to speak, which is, imagine how little time you get. I mean, it's just kind of bringing it all to me.
It's kind of interesting, though, because, like, when you ask, like, what was he there doing? Like, if it's this undercover operation, like, wouldn't the other police have, like, if it's the police going undercover, usually it's not like we're not going to tell anyone else unless they're going undercover to investigate what is happening by the police, which is kind of like, well, this backfired.
Right. Seriously.
The operation.
Well, I think that, like, I mean, it probably thought that you
could have. But, like, to your point, like, there definitely could have been more of a, like, nefarious reason, like you kind of mentioned, as to like why he was undercover. But you would think if that were the case, more people would know that, like, hey, by the way, we're gonna have someone undercover from the force.
Or like, give a shit. They didn't give a fuck. They said, hey, it might be one of them niggas, but it might be one of our niggas, but he's still a nigga. And so they just whooped his ass. Woo. And no, white people, you cannot say that word. And then the third thing that gets me is, like, this happened. So the initial killing of the black teenager sparked all this, right? When the black teenager was shot by the white cop, that happened in 2011. Then the officer was acquitted and the protest happened in 2017, right? And then now in 2024, Luther is getting money from a settlement. Or he's getting money because a judge awarded it to him after he sued them. But it boggles my mind how long time has to go in between justice, quote unquote, getting served or not getting served, right? It's interesting that if a white person was getting killed by a black person, would this have taken so long between convictions, between bringing the court case up? I mean, 7 fucking years and then 8 fucking years in between. It screams that this is only happening because everyone involved dragged their feet and tried to wait out as long as possible before the people around them forced them to submit a case or submitted their own case. But I just think it's really funny how long it takes to deal with these kind of issues when it's, you know, black on white versus when it's white on black. So, and that's all I got to say about this crazy fucking story. Now let's take a break before I fucking sneeze.
I will say I want to read this court case because that is going to be one. Hey, you sent me undercover. I got my ass beat. Right, now right. I want my money. Like, right, I to the time of $23 million. Like,
I've been to your house, John. We went to dinner 2 years ago, and now you beat my ass? Let's take a break.
Bring me my money.
Welcome back. I feel great because I sneezed. Let's get on to SF News. Tesla started laying off 14,000 employees. It couldn't have gone worse. Oh, Elon Musk, you fucking asshole. So, Tesla is having a bad year of late, unless you paid attention. Their stocks are down significantly. Their orders are down significantly. You know, the issues like Musk is erratic behavior. He's a CEO. He's an asshole. He's a racist. So he's turning off a lot of people and buying his cars. The underperformance of the Cybertruck and the subsequent safety issues, right? So if you guys have noticed, he came out with the Cybertruck, which looks fucking horrible. It doesn't really do any of the things really he said it was going to do. It hasn't really been selling well. And then they had this recall issue where they had to recall every single Cybertruck because the gas pedal or something may like slam to the ground and stay there. So no one's died, of course, but they had to get it off the road before then. So plus you have to, you know, tie that on to the cars are hard to drive. I was reading an article about how Hertz was like, you know, like went all in on these cars, but then there were so many accidents because people didn't know. If anyone who's ever driven a Tesla knows that it's not very like user-friendly, it's not easy, right? I mean, like there's been a lot of accidents, tons of accidents if you look it up with the Tesla. I mean, they just had Elaine Chao, Mitch McConnell's wife's sister, died because she accidentally put it in reverse and went into a lake, right? So tons of accidents with the car. There's also a lot of competition now, right? A lot more of the car companies are getting into the EV space, especially in China. And so basically that's just hitting Tesla's bottom line. And the way that Tesla's kind of the way it goes is that they build cars made to order, right? So unlike a lot of the other car companies where they're just going to, they build those cars and sell them, Tesla literally waits for the orders to come in, which means that if you've already hit your order quota and orders aren't coming in, you've got people standing around, which is really, really expensive. A lot of other companies, car companies don't have that issue because they have a different model, right? So in true American fashion, the way to save money is always to cut the fucking employees, right? Not to do anything fucking else, but cut the fucking employees. This is also, by the way, they want to cut employees after Elon Musk asked Tesla to pay him $56 billion more in shares because he's such a good fucking CEO, but they're cutting 14,000 motherfucking people. And apparently 14 wasn't even enough. Elon Musk wanted to cut 20%, which is what their orders are actually down, but he couldn't countenance it, so they only did 10%. So they, and then in the way that they always do this, they did it like fucking assholes. So Tesla sent an email out on a Monday night going into Tuesday saying that you had been fired. Elon Musk was saying in the email, like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Suck a dick, Elon. So he sent this email out in the middle of the night. There were employees who were on the night shift who were working when the email got sent out. And I know someone at Tesla. He said they just started pulling motherfuckers off the floor and saying, oh, but you got to go. Right? No one knew it was coming. This isn't like a season where these are temp workers who are getting laid off. No, these are full-time workers who had no clue, pulled up the floor in the middle of the shift, and they said, and deuces, right? They had people who didn't, you know, these are line workers, right? They don't check their email. You know what I mean? If you're a line worker, you check your email to get the holiday card or the, you know what I mean, or something stupid, but you don't check your email on a daily or even less than that basis or more than that. That's what managers do, right? So you had people who were driving 2 to 3 hours into work to go to the free, you know, to go to this facilities. And then they find out at the gate, at the entrance, that their badge is not working and they're asked to just get back on the shuttle to go home. Can you fucking imagine the level of like, just, I don't know, just like, nah, you don't give a fuck about people if that's how you fire them, right? Do you think this is illegal, you may ask? Well, apparently in the state of California, that you have to give people 60 days notice when you lay them off, or you have to pay them a 60 day severance. So Tesla did pay the employee 60 day severance, right? But it's still, it's really like, that's the letter of the law, not the spirit. And it just speaks to me about how much of a fucking dick, you know, Elon Musk is and Tesla is. Any company that does firings like this is a dick. There are so many better ways to do it. Firings are never good. Laying people off are never good. But damn, you know, have some fucking empathy. And then, you know, I love it when people call Elon Musk a genius for shit like that. It's not genius level to treat people like shit. It's easy to treat people like shit. You know what would have been genius is for Elon Musk to find ways to take, to get this money back, or to, you know, to like cut costs without, because of his bad decisions, right? Because of decisions like the cyber fucking truck and all that, and I take it out on the workers. It's always the workers who have to pay for the stupid ass decisions of the CEO. You know what I mean? That, for it would be genius of Elon Musk to find another way to do it than to just always take it out on the workers. That would be fucking genius. Ugh. All right, guys, pop culture fucking news. Now, this one hurts my heart. Cameron, is going to hurt your heart. Megan Thee Stallion accused of harassment by cameraman who said he was forced to watch her have sex. Yes, motherfuckers, you heard me right. So, first of all, damn, Megan, damn, baby, not my Megan. I love my Megan. Before I cry, let's get into this fucking story. A cameraman named Emilio Garcia, who has worked for Megan for a long time. He started out with a part-time, quit his job to move to travel the world with her, blah, 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 blah. He alleges they were on a trip to Ibiza. In Ibiza was Megan and four other women in a van. And I don't know where the fuck they were going. In the van, Megan starts, he says, he alleges that Megan just started having sex with another woman there. Nothing, didn't like touch him or whatever, but it made him uncomfortable, obviously, seeing these women have sex. After they exited the van, Emilio later said that Megan approached him to verify if he was in the van. And when he said yes, she said, "You ain't seen nothing," right? So she was like, that was a threat, right? After that, he says, Emilio says that she started fat shaming him, like saying, "Take that, you know, food out your mouth, you fat ass. Why are you eating like that?" She started berating him. He says that he started getting book less, and then also his pay package changed, right? So he was getting book less, and he was also getting paid less for each booking. He eventually quit working with her. Megan and Camp have not said anything as of late about the lawsuit, and that's pretty much all I have. That's all I know. But fuck. I mean, I'm on the side of the accusers, but damn. I'm on the side of the victim, I'm sorry. But like, Megan. I mean, how many more motherfucking people? Do you know what I mean? How many more people that have to come out? What is going on? Right? Where what can we put in place for these motherfuckers to stop just molesting? But you know what's funny? It's actually like sexual violence just happens, just springs up. As soon as any certain situations happen, right? You hear about all the sexual violence in any war-torn country, anytime there's something happening, and it just apparently in these situations, music industry, my motherfucking God. I will say, though, that, like, when you think about victims, this Emilio guy, I don't know if he's straight, but if he is straight, I'm sure he's going to get so much shit for being a straight man, right, that's had to watch two women have sex, and you know what I mean, and, like, and all that kind of shit. And so, you know what I mean? It's just, like, victims, you know, never get – it's not a good thing when you come out with something like that. It hurts you anyway, which makes me always want to believe the victim. But then, of course, when you have someone you like, it just hits you even more. Oh. I don't know how to feel. I don't know how to feel. I know you're supposed to end these podcasts on a solid, positive note, but damn, Megan, damn. Cameron, any thoughts?
I'm interested to see how it plays out. I believe the victim, of course, because, you know, why? Again, why would someone, you know, make false accusations? But then part of me is also like, I wonder if there's some things going on with the, you know, Nicki Minaj, she said in her last little diss track that she's like, you keep going. I got stuff. Like, so who knows if it's like she knows things and are telling people, hey, come, you know. I don't know. I know that's a lot of conspiracy theory, but
I wish Nikki would, bitch. Maybe Nikki, girl, maybe get your husband to stop sexually harassing, and maybe his brother. You know what I mean? Nikki probably like, girl, I got you. I know what it's like to be a sexual harasser, bitch. I live with them. I'm gonna fuck with the Barb say.
Totally conspiracy, and who knows, but it'd be a very interesting conspiracy theory.
I'm definitely interested to see what happens and what comes out of it, and oh my God. And on that note, while I just said fuck Nicki Minaj, we've got a lot of stuff. We're coming to the end of our podcast, guys. We're here. I hope you enjoyed it. Say, we got a lot of stuff planned coming up for you guys, including guest interviews, new branding, Wedding Room IG page. We still need to drop the panel episode, which is in 3 weeks, episode 15, which is also apparently one of my South Counting episodes. Right, Cam? So only two more from now. It's crazy how fast everything goes when it's weekly. We love you. This has been amazing. See you in a week. Remember to listen, rate, and share. Also remember to set a reminder so you get a notice when I post any new shows. Send me any feedback, questions, or comments personally on IG. It's WHENNRONE. And until next time, keep it sassy, San Francisco. I got it right this time, you fucker.
Sure did.
Bye, y'all. Oh, hi. I guess we're starting with the rehearsal. I don't really have any. Is it even moving? I don't think it's. Is it? Okay, good. Do I need to get closer? What is this? How does this sound? Now I can't hear it. I can't see any striations. I feel like if it's not showing striations, oh, maybe I should get a little closer. How's that? Cool. Okay, so Cameron, I did not think your mom was white. It was really funny. Like, I don't know why. I mean, I knew you were black and white, obviously. But then I thought, for some reason, in my mind, your mom was black and your dad was white. So when I saw the picture of you and Phil, I was like, oh, his mom was white. And then what was funny is when I was talking to it with a bunch of like random people, they were like, Cameron's half white. I was like, yeah, it's funny because if you're not black, you can't see it, right? If you're not black, they just see, they just think you're black. Or some people are like, oh, Cameron's black. I was like, okay, girl, what did you think he was?
I feel like we've talked about it, and I thought that you knew that she was the white part.
No, I guess maybe we talked about it and I zoned out. But I mean, it doesn't matter. I just had this black woman who kind of looked like the mother and sister in my mind.